Buddy.
Apologies for my stitches, it feels so
good. No problem. We are in Parashat Chukat. Now, Parashat Chukat, one of the most famous things about this part, a lot of things, but one of the things is the understanding, why do we keep mitzvahs? Why do we keep what God told us to do?
Because God asked us to.
Because God asked us to, and now because we understand why He asked us, or just because He asked us? Why do we do the mitzvahs? Because God asked us to do it, or let's put it this way, ordered us to do it, or because we know why?
We don't know why.
All the mitzvahs we don't know why?
No, some of them.
Some of them we know, some of them we don't know. So there are three parts in the mitzvahs. One is the mitzvahs that we understand, and everybody understands. Like you shouldn't steal, you shouldn't murder, and all the normal things that all society is built on it. Then we have the religious mitzvahs. The mezuzah, tefillin, kashrut. Those are religious mitzvahs. And then we have the laws which got no explanation. And one of those laws is para aduma, the red cow. The red calf. And here the Torah is saying something very interesting. Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe vel Aaron le'emo, zot chukat haTorah. That's the law of the Torah. What is the law of the Torah? And then comes the description of para aduma. And the question is, is this the law of the Torah? There are a lot of other laws. And normally, if, for example, on Pesach is written, Zot Chukat HaPesach. That's the law of Pesach. And here, you should write, that's the law of Para Aduma. Why is it written, that's the law of the Torah? Nevertheless, we go on, and we come to the reason. Why do we need Para Aduma? We need the ashes of the Para Aduma in order to purify those who are impure, because they touched somebody who died. So then we have the idea of the one who died, and then also there is a title that is even, let's say, more bombastic than this title. And it says like this.
No, they're thick cases.
Oh, I see. Very thick. Zot haTorah. This is in Pasuk Yudaled, Pasuk 14. Zot haTorah. That's the Torah. Adam ki yamut ba'oel. When somebody dies in a tent. And this is, 1 minute. This is the Torah? Adam ki yamut? What's going on here? Bokero. It's a title that says like, that's the Torah. Okay, Adam. And what's the Adam ki yamut ba'oel? Right after Zot haTorah, and we have to understand what's going on. So the idea behind it is, first of all, the connection between this and the first one is logical. If you are touching a dying person, or you are in a tent where there is somebody who died, then you are tameh. And in order to purify yourself, to be tahor again, you need the ashes of the para aduma. But here and there we have the title Zot haTorah. In the Para Aduma, Zot Chukat haTorah. And here, Zot haTorah. So first of all, what is the idea? That's the Torah, a man who would die in a tent. So Chazal learned from this, that if you want to learn Torah, you have to kill yourself on the Torah. Chafetz Chaim says, the Torah says lichyot ba velo lamut ba. Torah is life, it's not dead. On the contrary, the Torah wants us to live it. So what's the idea? So it's this famous story. This guy had a big business, and for many years he was occupied with the business. You know, you wake up in the morning, goes to daven, then goes to the business, comes back at night, maybe watches a little television, eats something, and goes to sleep. And this was going on. One day, he was quite not a young pigeon anymore. And he said to himself, 1 minute, what do I do for God? You know, I have to sit and learn something. So he decided that in the morning after davening, he will stay in shul and will learn for 2 hours. Very good. So he's doing it. The wife is opening the shop, the business, waiting, customers all over. And Yankel is not there. After 2 hours, he comes. Says, Yankel, where have you been? Says, I had a problem here and there. I had some things that delayed me. Okay. But it's going on the next day and for the whole week. Every day, he's coming late. And no, she's complaining and saying, look, he leaves me here with all the customers. I cannot deal with everybody. Where is he? And some of the customers a week later says, what do you mean? Who are you looking for? Well, Yankel, my husband, you know, he has to be in 8 o'clock in the business. No, it's 9:30. He's not here. He said, what do you mean? You know, he's sitting in the Beis HaMidrash learning. He says, what? Yes. Every morning after davening, he stays there and learns. She couldn't believe it. She runs to the Beis HaMidrash, looks through the window, and yes, her husband Yankel is sitting there learning. She comes in and she makes a show. What are you doing? What's happening with you? The shop is full with customers and you're sitting here. What's going to be with the shop? We're going to lose business. I cannot deal with everybody. So Yankel calms her down. Calm down. I want to ask you a question. Let's say if the Malach HaMavet will come, the angel of death will come and will take me, and I'm dead. What are you going to do in the shop? What can you do? Says, what can I do? Malach HaMavet took you. I have to deal with things by myself. He says, now, what do you care if after 2 hours I've got Chiyat HaMetim? Says, imagine to yourself every morning, for 2 hours I am dead. And after 2 hours I am alive again and I'm coming to the shop. And there says the Chofetz Chaim, that's the idea of Adam ki yamut ba'oel. You know, we have excuses for everything. I've got no time, I have to do this. When it's like something to deal with spiritual, something we do with a mitzvah, with a tzedakah, or with whatever, or davening, whatever. Everybody can choose whatever he wants. But every time, you know, Yetzer Hara comes, it's got an excuse. No, you have a meeting, and you have to do this, you have to do that. And we cannot find the time to do something for God. Says the Chofetz Chaim, the only way to do it, Adam ki yamut ba'oel. You have to decide, now I am like dead. Like dead, not dead, Baruch Hashem, I'm alive. But I'm using the time, everything around me is dead. I am now with God. Half an hour, 20 minutes, whatever. But, you know, God, by the way, God loves if somebody's got kviut, like something that is permanent and all every time. In other words, even if we decide for ourselves that every day for 5 minutes we say Tehillim, for example, or every day for 5 minutes we do something good, and we do it every day for 5 minutes, or somebody decides that he is going to dedicate a few hours today to do something for God. And then, when he will have time, again he will dedicate another 2 hours and even 4 hours. What do you think God loves more? Here, let's say he did maybe 10 hours, and here he did maybe 2 hours. What do you think God is going to love more? The normal answer will be, the guy who did a lot of hours. But the truth is, that's not the right answer. God loves, if you take your day and you decide that the few minutes at that day you dedicate to God every day, that's what God loves. Because it means that God is in your schedule. It's not, okay, here I've got time, I'm going to do it. Here I have, I'm not going to do it. God wants a schedule. If you put, like you said, you eat 3 times a day, the same way God wants you to put God in the day. You decide how long you want. By the way, normally you should choose for something very short. Why? Because, you know, it's like I used to sell those sport bikes. Still today I sell it, but it's a very something on the side. And people used to come and they want the best bike with all the watches and the things and electronics. And I was asking, I want to ask you something. How long are you going to work out on the bicycle every day? Oh, every day 1 hour. Says, from my experience, I can tell you, if you start with 1 hour,
forget it.
In 2 months' time, you will not do even 1 minute. And that's the way it is. In other words, you will have, how do you say that? A hanger. You will have a hanger in the room that will cost you 2,000 shekel, for example, or 4,000 shekel. Instead, take something cheap and try to do 15 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day. Even start with 5 minutes. Then you can even start thinking about buying something professional. Otherwise, you're not going to stand. Because you say, we are human beings. And we have our way. And if we take on ourselves tasks that are too big, we will break. That's why everything starts with a small step. Ekev tishmeun, says the Torah. Ekev, what is ekev? Ekev is the akev, it's the heel. What is the heel? Something you thread on. Like a small thing, but it's the base of everything. You don't notice what you're walking on. But without the heel, you've got nothing. And it's step by step, step by step. That's the way you get great things. And the same thing is here. The Torah is telling you. You want to know how to get closer to God, how to be connected to the Torah? That's the Torah. What is the Torah? Adam ki yamut ba'oel. You decide how long it is. But every day, put yourself a dead time for everything else, but alive for God. Now, if you do this, that's the Torah. Then, what is Chukat HaTorah? What is the law of the Torah? And this is very interesting. Para Aduma is the symbol of laws that have got no explanation. And Shlomo HaMelech says on Para Aduma, Echkema vehi rechoka mimeni. I got wiser and wiser. And when I got to this mitzvah, I realized that it's far away from me. I know nothing. In other words, the more I know, the less I know. That's Shlomo HaMelech, who was the most clever guy in the world. And that's, by the way, a big lesson for us. You know, because somebody who knows everything, can you teach him something? He knows. What can you teach him? Somebody who knows nothing, you can teach him. He wants to learn. So Shlomo HaMelech says something even more. He says, I learned the Torah, and I found this mitzvah. I cannot understand what it's all about. Now, what is the idea behind Para Aduma? What is the problem that Shlomo HaMelech had? Everybody who deals with the Para Aduma is impure, tameh. And from the other side, if somebody is impure, tameh, the ashes of the Para Aduma purifies him, makes him tahor. And this is not normal. How can something be from one side, if it touches somebody pure, it becomes impure? If it touches somebody impure, it becomes pure. I couldn't understand it, says Shlomo HaMelech. But the real truth is that there are a lot of explanations on Para Aduma. And if you look through Rashi, I won't go into it, but it's a very long Rashi, and you can look in the translation. Rashi gives an explanation of the mitzvah of Para Aduma and all the details. He says it's against the golden calf. And if you go through Rashi, you will find out that it's got a reason for every detail in the way you make the Para Aduma. So, Shlomo HaMelech didn't know it? Why did Shlomo HaMelech say, Echkema v'irachoka mimeni? How could it be? How is it possible that Shlomo HaMelech didn't know what Rashi knew? You see, there's one problem here. What Rashi is giving us is that the golden calf was the sin, and the Para Aduma, the red cow, is the cure. Okay? The point is, if we want to look chronologically, Shilkli, it's not exactly right. Because Parah Aduma was giving us in the beginning when we went into the desert, before Am Yisrael sinned, the golden calf. So it's impossible that the cure is before the sin. So people can say God knows everything and it's no problem. But exactly that is the problem. Because if God gives me a cure for a sin before I sin, it means that I've got no decision. That I'm going to sin for sure, and that's why God is giving me already the cure. I'm not going to go into philosophical answer of this, but the idea is that what our sages say, God will not put things this way. God knows everything. There's no doubt about it. But God will not give us something in this world before we did something that supposedly is after. He's not going to do it this way. In other words, it's very nice to say that the golden calf and the Parah Aduma are connected. It's no problem. But Shlomo HaMelech says, this is not the whole idea. It's impossible that it will be. There is something else here. And by the way, Moshe Rabbeinu knew all the reasons for all the mitzvahs. But here, if you look in the beginning of the parsha, he's being told, you are not going to tell the secret of the Parah Aduma. You will tell it as a law. You have to do it. That's it. What is the idea behind it? And what is the idea behind what Shlomo HaMelech is saying? Because he was the most clever guy in the world. And as we see, Rashi gives an explanation. Okay, it's not exactly goes with the right time, so we can say that cannot be the reason. But still, what's going on here? What Shlomo HaMelech is saying to us is not that he doesn't understand the reason for the mitzvah of Parah Aduma. He says he doesn't understand the reason for all the mitzvahs. Or, let's put it a little clearer. God, whatever he tells us to do, there is a reason. You must understand it. Because God is not going to give you anything without a reason. God is our Father. He loves us. And no father is going to give his son something with no reason. For example, if your child wants a sweet, and you know it's got problem with the teeth. His tooth are falling off his mouth because he ate so many sweets. Now he comes to you, mother, father, I want a sukkariya, I want a sweet. Are you going to give it to him? But he wants. Are you not going to give it to him?
No.
And are you doing good or bad?
Good.
In other words, sometimes if you prevent something, it's good. You can even go to extremes. Somebody, chas v'sholom, has got a problem, an illness. And the doctor gives him very strong medicine. And this medicine makes him weak. It's bitter. But it's going to help him to cure his disease, his illness. Now, is he going to take it or not? Of course. Now, is it good or bad? It's good. In other words, we don't always realize what's behind things. But if we understand that God loves us, the same way as the mother loves her child, and she knows that she cannot give him now the sweet because it's got a problem, the same way God acts with us. And if our parents force us to wake up in the morning to go to shul, to go to school, is it right or wrong? Of course it's right. The same way God, if he tells us to do something, is it for us, for the benefit? Of course. It's only for good. So if I realize, I understand that whatever our Father in heaven is doing, it's got a reason. Oh, I don't know the reason. That's a different thing. You cannot know everything. But the same way as you go to a doctor, and the doctor gives you a description, and are you going to take it, or are you going to start asking questions? Well, what is it? What is inside? Let me do a research and learn for 7 years to know exactly what the doctor knows, and then maybe I will take the medicine. Are you going to do this way? The doctor says, and you know he's a doctor well known, you take what he says, even if you don't understand why. Because you know it's going to cure you. The same thing is with God. If God tells you something to do, it's for you, and there is a reason, and it's only for your own benefit. Sometimes you understand why, sometimes you don't. But you do the mitzvahs, not because you understand them, but because God ordered you to do it. And here is another thing. When we're talking about God ordering us to do certain mitzvahs, and we understand the reason, says Shlomo HaMelech, you think you understand the reason. Because the Torah is so deep that the more you learn, the more you understand,
the less you know.
The less you know, that you know nothing. In other words, even if you know the reason, this is not the real reason, or let's put it this way, that is not the deep reason that is inside. Because this whole world is just a stage. A stage for a period of time, and then the show is finished, and you go to the real world, which is the next world. So everything that's happening to us is just to lead us to the next world. This is our belief, and this is the way we have to act. Now, what Shlomo HaMelech is telling us, you have to understand. You can be very clever. And we saw the last parsha and the parsha before. The greatest people in Am Yisrael did terrible things. Why? Because they thought they know better. Sometimes we think we know. I never forget, a swing. I got this swing and I want to put it in the showroom, and you know, I'm doing it for many years, I know how to assemble it. So I didn't look on the instruction. Took the screws and start putting everything in. I finished the whole thing. But there was one screw I had to put in order to put it on the right place. And I found out that this screw is too short.
So you used the wrong screw?
I used the wrong screw. What did I have to do now?
Take everything apart.
Take everything apart and start from the beginning. Because I realized that somewhere in the middle I put the long screw where the short screw is supposed to be. Now there's no problem to put the long screw there. It's long, it will go in. The problem is that this screw is for something else. And the minute I was left with this short screw, I couldn't put it. And the same way is in life. We think we know everything. And we don't look at the instruction. Because we know it. And it happens because of jealousy, of seeking for honor, and other things. It happened to Korach. It happened to 250 people that were standing there. It happened to the Meraglim, which also were top people. And it happens all the time. And it happens to us. And the big lesson is, it doesn't matter how clever or holy you are. This is the law. This is the book. And you go according to the laws of the book. You think you know better? Try and find. You don't find an answer, or you think you know the answer, and the Torah is telling you differently, you do what the Torah tells you to do. You can sometimes find a reason. If you look even at the science, what's going to happen in science, if you look through, let's say, the last 100 years, you will find out something amazing. Every generation, they find that what they found the generation before was wrong. Even regarding the atom, that they thought it was the smallest part in the creation, they found out it's not exactly. Even the laws that they have, they found out they have the quantum. The quantum is something that shows you that all the physics that they knew before doesn't go with the law of the quants. Why? Because the knowledge of people is limited. And even if you think you got to the top, to the highest level, then you go on and on and you find out what Shlomo HaMelech tells us. Echkema v'irchoka mimeni. I got very clever and I learned a lot. And I found out, the more I know, the less I know. I can tell you, I started learning a little Kabbalah. And the more I go into it, I realize I understand nothing. Nothing. I don't know what they're talking about. In the beginning, I was getting some ideas. So, beautiful, I know things. In a minute, I will be a mekubal. Like a lot of mekubalim all around. Everybody decides he's a mekubal. And then the more I learn, I understand what? I know nothing. It's so deep. And that was Chukat HaTorah. First of all, mekubal is those who say that they, in Kabbalah, they are, I don't know how you say mekubal in English. How do you say mekubal in English? I don't know. Yeah, I know. Torat Hanistar. Those who deal. Those who are in the inner side of the Torah that can do miracles with the words and the letters of the Torah. What is Kabbalah? Kabbalah. So Mekubal is like, say, for example, they say that you have the Rabbonim that say that they are Mekubalim, and you have some people that say that they are Mekubalim and they've got very limited knowledge about something. For example, all those people who speak on the radio, you know, if you do this and do that, and if you were born here and there, so this and this is going to happen, it's all nonsense.
And it's asked Madonna.
And Madonna is also Mekubalet. The minute you see, the Torah says, our sages say, Sadikim yelchuba, uposhim yikashluba. What is the meaning? You take the Torah, and if you go in the right passage, you will go up and up and up and elevate yourself. But you can take the same Torah and go in the wrong way, and then you will go down and down and down with the Torah itself. Because it depends how you use it and what do you do with it. So, in other words, first of all, our big lesson from the parsha is to understand and realize that whatever God tells us to do is good and there is a reason for everything. The other thing is, we don't understand the reason, but still, we're going to keep the law of God. Because even Shlomo HaMelech told us that we should understand that we don't understand. It doesn't mean that we stop learning. On the contrary, we have to learn more and more because this is why we're here and this is why God gave us Seichel, our mind. The mind, by the way, is the Neshama. And all the sages said you should explore, you should ask, and you should go and develop your mind because that's the reason you're here. But the point is to understand and realize that even if you don't go to the source and you cannot get to the real reason, doesn't mean there is no reason. And it doesn't mean it's bad for you. It's the best for you. Whatever God tells you to do. So in other words, in order to get this, you have to clean yourself like somebody who died. And this is connecting to what we're going to end our shiur today. In the end of the parsha, there are a lot of interesting things in our parsha, but we cannot talk about everything. But there is one thing that we maybe should learn, and this is when Am Israel go to Sichon and they conquered Cheshbon, which is the town of Sichon. And before this, the Torah is telling us a whole story. Ki Cheshbon ir Sichon. Cheshbon is a town of Sichon. Melech HaEmori who, and he is the Amorite king, who fought against the king of Moab, the first king of Moab. And he took all his land from him, Ad Arnon. And let's imagine to yourself, this guy, they say Cheshbon was very difficult to conquer. It was built properly with a wall, with everything. It was, and people were big fighters. And he succeeded. Imagine to yourself the parade he did. And the papers full up with this great victory of Sichon Melech HaEmori. He was successful to defeat the enemy, this big enemy, and take all his land. Unfortunately, he didn't know that it wasn't victory. It was his biggest loss. Why? Because 2 minutes later, who comes and takes it from him? Am Israel. And then the Torah is telling us something very interesting. Al ken yomru ha-moshlim, What is Moshlim? Governors. Where is it?
One minute.
He understands Hebrew. Yeah. What is Cheshbon? Cheshbon is the name of the town. Now, Cheshbon is also, Cheshbon in Hebrew is what? Calculation.
Calculation.
Chafetz Chaim says that the biggest Cheshbon, the bigger calculation we'll have to give when we come up there, living without calculation. The biggest cheshbon is going to be to live without a cheshbon. In other words, our sages says, what is written here is something very interesting. Al ken yomru ha-moshlim. What's moshlim? Moshlim is somebody who governs. Someone who is controls things. And in order to get to the right decision, you have to control, to be in control on what? On Yetzer Hara. Because Yetzer Hara is always fighting against you. And if you don't control him, you can never do the right calculation. The same way as Sichon Melech HaEmori. He did the calculation. He won the war. But he didn't do the right calculation. Because what was the problem with Cheshbon? If Cheshbon was in the hand of Moab, could we go and conquer it? No. You know why? Because everything that belongs to Moab, we're not allowed to conquer it. God ordered us, you don't touch Moab.
Explain.
We're not allowed, if it was in the hand of Moab, Moab is a nation. We were not allowed to touch anything that belongs to Moab. Because they are the children of Lot. So they were given a promise that Like we, the children of Avram, and will not touch them. We'll not touch the children of Lot, who was a relation of Avram. He was his cousin. So, because of this promise, there were Moab and Ammon. We're not allowed to go and fight Moab. But what happened here is that the Amorite came and fought against Moab and took their land. Now, who has the land? The Amorites. So, now can we conquer them?
Yes.
It doesn't belong to Moab anymore. In other words, he just took it, put it on a plate, and gave it to us. Now, he didn't know it, because his calculation was wrong. So, from this, our sages say, because, you see, all the stories in the Torah, they're not really stories. They're all big lessons to us how to live our life. And the same way as we talk about the Chukat Torah, in order to get to the right decision, we always have to know to be control on Yetzer Hara. And to live with calculation, with a cheshbon. What does it mean? Somebody in business, you will find him sometimes every day doing calculation. Did I do right today? Did I do wrong? What can I fix? And if not every day, at least every few days, at least every week. No business goes on without doing calculation. Now, what God is telling us, the same thing you have to do with the Torah. You're living, you have to live with cheshbon, live with calculation. And the calculations will be a right calculation, because we all know, if our calculations are controlled by our desires, by our Yetzer Hara, we will do the calculation the way we want it to be. Because if we want to go to a certain place which we're not allowed to go, we will find all the excuses to do it. And we all know how it works. So the Torah is telling us the only way to do the right calculation is to calculate things in a straight mind with no influence from Yetzer Hara. That's the only way to do the right calculation. I hope that all of us learned something from this lesson, from the Chukat Torah. We do what God tells us to do because God loves us, and whatever He tells us to do is good for us. We try to find a few minutes in the day at least to dedicate them to God every day. And this way we will get to the knowledge and to controlling our life and do the right calculation and go in the right way. Shkoyer.
From this